Thank you for tuning in to the Cerrito House of Worship. It is our hope and belief that God will speak to you through His Word today. He is able to do far more than you could ask or even imagine.
Use my feet. Give me your heart. Give me your wisdom. Give me your eyes to see what you see. And let me feel what you feel, Lord. Welcome to this place, Holy Spirit. I know you are here, Lord Jesus, and we want to worship you. We want to adore you, and we want to surrender to your lives. We pray for all the missionaries. We pray for the mission trip to Africa. And we pray, Lord, for everyone who is willing to preach your gospel and be brave. Protect them, Lord, and allow us to see your glory. Because if we have you, we have the victory, Lord. You are the King of Kings, and you are the only one who deserves the glory and honor. We are here to serve you, Lord Jesus. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray for the revival and from your coming, because I know you are here, Lord. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. And I will just give a glory to God if you want. He deserves all the glory. I just want to show you really quick a video for this mission, if they have it ready. Yes. So that way you can join us for this fasting, for this time, the 3 days. This mission trip for Africa is God asking each of you to be part. You can be part donating, you can be part going with us, you can be part praying. Let me tell you something. That pictures are real. That kids are real. I never forget for the first time I went to Africa and I saw that kids dying of hunger. Yes, it's not easy. I know it's going to be opposition. I know sometimes we don't have enough money. I know the enemy sometimes attacks us. It's dangerous. But you know what? Who else going to help these people if we don't do it? Who else going to help these people in need if we don't do it? And it's no one person asking us. It's churches, it's pastors, it's people that they are fasting, praying for help. They need us because we have different circumstances than what they have. And I never forget that child when I met him with the hands like this, asking for food, knowing that he's gonna die. I never forget when I saw that kids because they don't deserve the life they have. And I say, God, I don't have nothing for all those people who are going to die. I don't have no money to save them. But God told me, you have more than what you think. You have my presence. And when I pray for them, you can see them. Some of the kids became healed. God healed them. They cannot talk. They cannot listen. God healed them. More than 3,000 people received Jesus. We have more than enough. If you have the presence of God, you have everything to be part of this. That's everything we need, Jesus Christ. And He is with us, and He's waiting for us. Please join us in this fasting, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. Pray for this mission, and pray for this church, and pray for the pastors of this church, and pray for every minister. Believe me, it's not easy to be in the line, but it is the best we can do. Give our lives for Jesus, and I don't care if I die preaching the gospel, but I'm willing to do anything for God because He did everything for me. Yeah. I'm going to take my kids, and they need to learn because I pray to God. I ask, can I leave them? And say no, because my kids are for God, and they need to learn to serve God. Doesn't matter the age. We need to serve together because that's why we are here, to glorify His name and serve our amazing God. Amen. Lay all the glory to God.
Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hey, you know, anytime you hear from a missionary, which Leslie is a missionary, it's very important that you pray about what you just heard. Is that okay? Because God does call out of nowhere. Sometimes God will place something on your heart, just drop it in. All of a sudden, you say, man, I want to go. She's gonna have some information for you if you feel like you want to go to Africa. You know, I would love to go to Africa. I would. But I'm only going to go if God tells me to go. You know what I'm saying? We have to be led by the Lord. But you can't be led if you don't pray. You cannot hear what he's saying if you're not praying. Can you say amen to that? So pray. Ask God. Say, God, you want me to go to Africa? You want me to go to Mexico? You know, I don't go to Mexico much. Because I have had some bad experiences in Mexico. Never, right, Ruben? Yeah. But if God wants me to go, if he tells me to go, I'll go. Amen. I went with Ruben down to Nogales, and he said, hey, you want to preach? I'll interpret. I said, you know what, brother? You just... I feel weird about that. You know why? Why do you think? I'm a Mexican. I should be able to preach in Spanish. But I don't, because I don't speak Spanish very well. Rosie will tell you, I don't speak very well at all. So, but I said, no, brother, you go ahead and preach, man, you know. And it was, you know, could that be a pride issue with me? Probably. Yeah, because, you know, hey, look at this Mexican. Hey, anyway, I don't need to tell you all that stuff. Praise God. But listen, hey, you heard from a missionary this morning. And she's inviting you to go to Africa on a mission trip. And so it's nice to have somebody, an evangelist here that can arrange something like this. So just find out if you feel it in your heart, you want to go talk to her. Is that okay? Can you say amen to that? Amen. Amen. Glory to God. We better get going. Amen. Almost done. I got a 2-hour message. What time is it? 11:19. Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. How many, the title of today's message is called The Wrangler. And so just kind of be quick. I'm going to leave some things out. Is that okay, Terry? And but I will say that one of the greatest wranglers that's in the scripture was a man called Jacob. Jacob was a son of Isaac and Rebecca. Isaac and Rebecca had two kids, Esau and Jacob. Jacob was kind of mama's boy, stayed in the tent most of the time, cooking. Is that okay? Esau was out in the fields, hunting deer, being, man, I'm a man, you know, and being whatever. And but so they were two very different boys. When Esau was born, Jacob, when his brother left the womb, Jacob grabbed his leg. Is that okay? Grabbed a hold of him. And so they named him Jacob, and the name Jacob means supplanter, kind of a jokester, somebody that tricks you. And they called him Jacob. And so as they grew up, well, before they were born, Rebecca asked the Lord, why is there, because she was having trouble in her pregnancy. And these two kids were bouncing around in there. She didn't realize, she asked the Lord, she didn't know. There was no way for her to know that she had twins. There was no, what do they call them? Sonograms. Now all the ladies know about sonograms. But there was no sonogram to see what was in there. But so she asked the Lord. Isn't that good? Ask the Lord. And so she asked the Lord, and the Lord tells her there are two nations. There's two nations in your womb. What? And he said, and then he says this, the Lord told her, the elder shall serve the younger. So Rebecca remembered that in her heart. So later on, as these kids were growing up, Jacob was in the house cooking, and Esau was out in the field hunting, and he comes in and he's dying of hunger. Is that right? He's dying of hunger, and he comes in and he says, hey, give me some of that nice you got there, man. And Jacob says, you know what? I'll give it to you if you give me your birthright. Esau was the firstborn. He had a birthright of inheriting everything that his father Isaac had. So Esau tells him, hey, I'm going to die of hunger here. A little dramatic, wouldn't you say? I'm going to die of hunger here. He goes, what good is this birthright to me? I need something to eat. So he traded for a bowl of soup, lentils, I guess, his birthright. the process was already happening of the elder serving the younger. It was beginning to work. And later on, when Isaac got old, Isaac called his oldest son in. He said, "Hey, go out in the field and kill a deer and bring me some of that savory soup that you make." That's the first time we hear about Esau making soup. He hadn't been making soup. Jacob had been making soup. But Isaac tells his son, his oldest son, "Go get me a deer and make me some soup out of that thing, and I want to bless you." Rebecca heard that. She knew in her heart that Esau was not to rule over Jacob. Jacob was to rule over Esau. So she calls Jacob and she says, "Look, I want to do some. We're going to do something here." "Yeah, what are we going to do?" "Well, we're going to make your dad think that you are Esau." "What? Are you kidding me?" He goes, "No." And he goes, "Hey, man, well, he's going to know my voice. He's gonna feel me, and he's gonna, because Esau's a hairy man, and I'm baby skin." And Rebecca says, "You know what? Go get a sheep." So he went and got killed a sheep, and they made some soup. She took from that lamb, she put some of his skin on her son, and covered him up, put his brother's jacket on him. And then she goes, "Okay, take him the soup and go get the blessing." See, I don't know about you, but blessing from the Lord or blessing is very important. Can you say amen to that? I feel blessing is very, very important. Pastor John will say, come up here and say, "I bless you in the name of the Father. Let his," what is it? Go ahead, John. How's it go? "Let his light shine upon you." Is that right? "Let his face shine upon you." Yeah, come on. And he places blessing on. And see, it's important that we bless the people. Can you say amen to that? Like Reuben just got through saying, when we're speaking the word of God, like Tommy came up and all these folks come up, we are speaking the word of God to bless you, to cause you to inherit what God has for you. Can you say amen to that? Amen. Hey, I can't make you do anything. Can you say amen? Say yeehaw. Yeah, let's go yeehaw, okay? Make it a little better. Yeah, I can't make you do anything. All I can do is tell you the word of God and let God take that word to your heart. Is that okay? So Jacob goes in dressed in disguise. And his dad says, "Is that you?" Esau says, "Yeah, this is, this is Jacob's going, yeah, this is Esau calling here. I'm ready to give you a soup." He said, "Man, the voice is Jacob." He says, "Come here, my son." So he goes over and he leans in on his dad, and his dad feels behind his neck. There's some sheepskin back there. Sorry. There's sheepskin back there, and he leans on him and he feels his neck. Feels like Esau. He smells his jacket. He says, smells like the field. That smells like my son. So he goes ahead and delivers the blessing to his oldest son, which is actually his youngest son. I get a kick. If you haven't read these, read these stories. They're beautiful. They are pointing. Jesus told the Pharisees, "You search the scriptures, for in them you think you have life, but they are they that testify of me." Even this story testifies of Jesus Christ. Jacob, is out of the room, and in comes Esau. "Arise, my father, I got your soup for you, man." Isaac starts shaking. He goes, "What?" He goes, who was that that just left? I'll tell you what, stirred up some things. Can you say amen? Yeehaw. Yeah. Got Esau so angry that he said, "As soon as my dad passes away, the moment he dies, I'm going to kill my brother." Rebecca heard that, and she said, she told him, "Yeah, you need to get to my dad. Go over to Laban and go over there and hang out there for a while." So Jacob heads over there, and Jacob actually falls in love with Rachel. And Rachel, he tells his father-in-law, Laban, he goes, "Hey, Laban," he goes, "I want to serve you for Rachel." Yeah. She's the younger daughter. And he says, "Yeah, sure." 7 years. So he served him for 7 years. And on their wedding night, when he gets up in the morning, he's not with Rachel, he's with Leah. How's it feel now, Mr. Supplanter? Is that right? Now who's getting one over on you, man? He goes, "What's going on?" His father tells him, "It's not right that the young one goes before the old one, so you got the old one." So we go, okay, so he serves him for another 7 years. And he gets Rachel. And then he begins to you got to remember, this guy was a mama's boy. Is that right? So all of a sudden, he is working in the fields with a bunch of cattle. How many of you know what a wrangler is? What's a wrangler? A wrangler is someone that handles livestock. And how Jacob became a livestock handler, I don't know. You guys, I know you were going to say pants, huh? Wranglers. When I asked what Wrangler was, those are pants, man. You can buy those in Walmart. No, John wears Wranglers. How many wear Wranglers? How many are Wrangler wearers? Oh, come on, John, put your hand up. You're going to be the only one in here. Yeah? How many wear Levi's? No, not everybody wear Levi's. I love to do that to Pastor John, man. How many what?
How many wrangle animals?
How many wrangle animals? How many are wranglers or been wranglers? I tried to be a wrangler one time. I raised a horse, two horses and a cow. Isn't that right? Amen. Remember? I thought I was a cowboy just because I had a cow. One cow. I even bought me a bull rider hat. Try to ride that little guy around town. Yeah. So Jacob is serving Laban, and he begins to work in the fields, and somehow he makes a deal with his father-in-law. He says, "I'll tell you what," he goes, "how about I take some of the odd cattle, goats and stuff?" He goes, all right, you want it? Yeah, I'll tell you what. He says, "Whatever comes out striped like that, you can have. I'll take the other ones, the ones with the solid colors." Laban was pretty sure he had the deal on him. Well, you got to remember what Jacob's name means. He's a supplanter, is that right? Yep. So he sets up a place where the cattle always breed by the water pot where they're drinking water. He sets up a place and they begin to breed there, but he sets up this place and he puts up a bunch of stripped wood there, and he strips it, and these animals are breeding in front of this thing. And how that works, I've got no idea, except that God was in on it. These animals began to breed with stripes on them. These animals began to be stronger. Jacob would pull out the stronger ones and have them breed and leave the weaker ones not to breed. And so his methods of going about this thing in wrangling this livestock, it began to pay off for him. So much so that he had more than Laban. His animals were stronger than Laban, his father-in-law. And so even Laban's sons are looking and say, "Hey, this guy's ripping us off, man. This guy has got most of the good cattle, and we've just got the bad one. My dad's getting ripped off here." Jacob heard him. And the Lord told Jacob, "It's time to go back to your dad." So the Lord tells him to go back. I'm sure Jacob's happy about that, except for one thing. He's got to face his brother. He's got to go to Esau and tell him, "Hey, man, I really don't know what to tell you. I stole your birthright. Because you see, when God blesses somebody, he will bless them. Can you say amen? Jacob was totally blessed. And this is where I want to take up. I want you to see in Genesis chapter 32. I'm going to try to keep this reasonably in, okay? So, all right. So if you guys start falling asleep and dropping to the floor, I'll know it's time to quit. All right. Genesis 32, verses 9 through 12. Here's Jacob. He's heading back, and he goes, oh, man, I don't know what to do. And he says, you know what? Jacob sets up a present for his brother Esau. It's something like 30 camels. This is how blessed he was. He had 200 she-goat. No, I think it was, I can't remember how many. It was 200
female goats.
Well, no, I think it was 200, either 200 goats or another animal, but I just can't remember. And then 20 males. And then he'd set up another one, and it was another 110. And so he's sending this big present to his brother to try to appease him. And here's a prayer that he says, because he sent his servants to go tell him, hey, man, Jacob is coming and he wants to see you and he wants to talk to you. He has to talk to you because he knows that you're upset with him. And so he wants to meet with you. And his servants come back and they say, he's coming, but he's bringing 400 men with him. Whoa. What does he need 400 men for? All Jacob could think of is, man, I'm going to get wiped out by my brother. He's going to fulfill what he said he was going to do. He said he was going to kill me. So here's a prayer he brings in to the Lord. It's Genesis chapter 32, verses 9 through 12. Praise God. I know I can read it up on the screen, but I'm going to read it out of my Bible. I like my Bible. How many of you like your Bible? Genesis 32, starting at verse 9. I was going to say my Bible doesn't have a chapter, not 32. Starting at verse 9 says this. And Jacob said, O God of my father Abraham, God of my father Isaac, Lord, which said to me, return to thy country and to thy kindred, and I will deal well with thee. I am not worthy of the least of all the mercies and of all the truth which you have showed unto your servant. For with my staff I passed over this Jordan, and now I am become two bands. Deliver me, I pray thee, from the hand of my brother, from the hand of Esau, for I fear him, lest he will come and smite me and the mother with the children. And you said, I will surely do thee good and make thy seed as the sand of the sea, which cannot be numbered for multitude. This was his prayer. And I love it. I love it because one thing, that last chapter, he's reminding God what he said. Can I tell you, God wants you to remind him of what he said to you. Is that okay? He wants you to remind him of his word. But here Jacob is worried about his brother, and that God, he even says, God, you sent me. You're the one that told me to go, to come over here. And see, I would say, you know, come on, Jacob. Would he send you to get you killed? I don't think so. But somehow the circumstances seem to overwhelm what's going on. Can you say amen? What should be going on in his heart? His trust for the Lord. The circumstances are overwhelming him. So here in verse 21 through 32, here's where it talks about the present. So he says, so went the present over before him, and he himself lodged that night in the company. And he rose up that night and took his two wives and his two women servants and his 11 sons and passed over the for Jabbok. And he took them and sent them over the brook and sent over that he had. And Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, "Let me go, for the day breaks." And he said, "I will not let you go except you bless me." Come on, man. And he said to him, "What is your name?" And he said, "Jacob." And he said, "Your name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince you have power with God and with men and has prevailed." And Jacob asked him and said, "Tell me, I pray thee, thy name." And he said, "Wherefore is it that you ask after my name?" And he blessed him there. And Jacob called the name of that place Peniel. "For I have seen the face of God face to face, and my life is preserved." And as he passed over Peniel, the sun rose upon him, and he halted upon his thigh. Therefore the children of Israel eat not of the sinew which shrank, which is upon the hollow of the thigh to this day, because he touched the hollow of Jacob's thigh, and the sinew shrank. Jacob's at this ford where the river turns. And he's there, and he is praying, and this angel shows up, or the Lord shows up. I believe it was the Lord himself. I believe Jesus showed up, and Isaac, I'm sorry, Jacob is wrestling with this angel. Here's another word for wrangler, is a wrestler. I mean, you know that. Wrangler is a wrestler, someone that wrestles. It comes from an old German word, Rangel, and it means to wrestle. Reuben was a wrestler in high school. Is that right? Anybody else wrestled in high school? John, did you wrestle in high school? No? No. Wrestlers. Wrestler. Hey, did you wrestle in high school? You did, didn't you? Praise God. Come on, man. And how many, hey, bro, do you sweat when you're wrestling? Come on. Reuben, did you sweat, or was no sweat? No sweat, huh? No sweat wrestling. No, man. Hey, Reuben was a double A champion. I mean, he was really good. But Jacob wrestled with this angel. And what I want to do is just kind of pinpoint something about this place called Jabbok. And you want to put that up, Cherry? The word Jabbok, Yahbok. Yahbok. Everybody say Yahbok. Yeah. Come on, y'all. Yeah. It means to empty or pour out, to drain. This might have been what the river was called. Maybe it was emptying some reservoir, whatever. I don't know. It could have been, and it was draining something. But actually, spiritually, it's to empty or pour out, to drain. It's known as a place of emptying oneself of pride and self-will. Can you say amen to that? How many know we need to be empty? How many know God wants to use empty vessels? Is that right? He wants you empty. Why does he want you empty? So he can fill you up. He needs you filled. Can you say amen? Not just a little filled, a filled to overflowing. Is that okay? Is that right? Come on, man. Hallelujah. God wants you full. Hallelujah. Yeah. I'm going to take you to Matthew chapter 6, verse 6. Do you know that God has called you to wrestle? Here's a place, but thou, when you pray, enter into your closet. And when you have shut your door, pray to your Father, which is in secret. And your Father, which sees in secret, shall reward you openly. A little bit after this, he says that God already knows what you need. But he wants you in that closet. Do you know what for? So that he can fill you. So that he can help drain you. Can you say amen to that? I mean, one of the things we need is drainage. Is that right? We need to be drained from who we are, and allow him to come in and be who he is in us. Can you say amen to that? I'm like, yeehaw. Yeah, I'm going to say that a lot, man, because I like, yeehaw. Come on, somebody. That felt good to me, man. We need to be drained. We need to release the old man. Can you say amen to that? Yeehaw. Come on, man. Yeah, you guys might not do it, but I'll do it for you. Matthew chapter 11, verse 12 says this: "The kingdom of God, from the days of John the Baptist till now, the kingdom of God heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. You know what that violence is? That violence that it's talking about is passion. Do you have passion? Do you have passion, or are you just kind of cruising along? I got passion for what I want to do, but for what God wants for me, I got no passion for that. Oh, no, man. You got it wrong. Can you say amen to that? He didn't save you for that. How many of you know that the Word of God says, what was it, Linda? Thank you. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Do you know what that means? Passion. Your prayer, is it passion? See, God already knows what you need. But he says, I want you to come in and talk to me. I want you to remind me of what I've told you. Can you say amen to that? Glory to God. Because if you will fill up on the Word of God, you're going to find God is blessed. He will be blessing you. Yeehaw! Come on, man. That's exactly right. I want you to look at Isaiah 43, verses 25 and 26. Check out these scriptures. I'm sorry for hurrying, but this is good stuff. This is God speaking. I am he that blots out your transgressions. For whose sake? For your sake? For his sake. That's kind of a weird statement, isn't it? Seems like God is God's very into himself. No, he's not. He blots out your transgressions for his own sake and will not remember your sins. Do you know why he blots out your transgressions for his sake? Because he loves you. The Word of God says sins separate us from God. That's what it says. And he doesn't want to be separated from any of his people. He wants to be with his people. And so he says, I will blot out your sins. You know what you know what's used to blot out sin? The blood of Jesus. It's the blood of the everlasting King that will blot out your sins. Can you say amen to that? There is nothing else that will wash your sins away. Nothing. Look at your neighbor and say nothing. Then say, yee-haw. Yee-haw. Nothing will wash your sins away but the blood of Jesus. He blots them out for my own sake and will not remember your sins. And then he says this, put me in remembrance. Remember I told you, God wants you to talk to him about what you've heard in his word. Put me in remembrance. Let us plead together. Declare thou that you may be justified. See, God wants you justified. He wants to hear his word coming out of your spirit so that he can say, yeah, that's it. So God will look at you and go, yee-haw, little man. Come on. I am going to take you and do that what you have asked. Can you say amen to that?
Yes.
Because he's a good God.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Put me in remembrance, he says. Remind me. See, I like what Sister said. Sister Lizzie says, you know, hey, he's here. Yeah. Folks, there is no time or no distance between us and God. He's here right now. As I've said this hundreds of times, I am an Emmanuelist. I believe that God is with me at all times. Can you say amen?
Yes.
You know what? If you're an Emmanuelist, you believe God is with you at all times, you're going to act a little different.
Yes.
Hallelujah. You're going to try to keep your mouth shut. Is that right? When you shouldn't say stuff, when you want to say stuff that you shouldn't say, you're going to try to keep your mouth shut. Why? Because you're an Emmanuelist. I believe God's with me. I believe he's here now. Hallelujah. Some people are waiting for the return of Christ. Come on, get over it. He's here.
Right.
He's here now.
Yes.
Not enough. Come on. Hallelujah. He says this, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Is that what he says?
Amen.
Come on. So is he with us?
Yes.
Come on. So now I'm going to talk about the greatest wrangler that ever lived. How many say amen to that? Who do you think he is? His name is Jesus. He's the greatest wrangler. Luke chapter 22, verses 39 through 46 says this. And he came out and went, and as he was wont to go, he went to the Mount of Olives. And his disciples followed him. And when he was at the place, he said to them, pray that you enter not into temptation. Can you say amen to that? Yeehaw. Hey, you know what? I'll just say this. This is good. It's a good little word right here. You want, sometimes, you know, we get tempted by stuff. Is that right? It's a fact. We get tempted. Is that right? Get tempted to yell. Get tempted to scream at somebody. Get tempted to eat chocolate. Oh, babe, where's my wife? Yeah, she's not over there. Sometimes we get tempted for chocolate. Amen. There she is. Yeah. Chips and salsa are my downfall, man. I gotta have chips and salsa. Come on, man. Give me a nice little bit hot salsa with some flavor. Ooh, man. Yeah, come on, man. I could live on that stuff. They used to have parties up at the mine. They bring these big bags of chips and salsa. Guess who ended up with them? Hank. Yeah. Hey, bro, come on in my office. I got some chips and salsa. Hey, come on in, man. We need chips and salsa. But we all have things that they're weak in. Is that right? Jesus gives us a good word right here. It's pray that you enter not into those temptations. Can you say amen? It's a good word. Pray. See, God says, come to me. He tells us to pray. He tells us to remind him of things he said to us. And he says this. Can you go back? Yeah, I'm saying. And when he was at the place, he said to them, pray that you enter not in temptation. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast, kneeled down and prayed. And he said, Father, if you be willing, remove this cup from me. Jesus is hitting a weak spot here. He's asking his father, hey, man, I don't know, God. You know, he said, is there another way? He even asked the Lord, is there another way? Aren't you glad he didn't take another way? Aren't you glad? Because right here, it's his decision to redeem us. He's got a decision here he's going for. And he's asking his father, hey, could there be another way? You see, there's a place where it says that he came up on his disciples, and it's a little bit after this. He comes up on his disciples, and he says, and he tells them something. He goes, he finds them sleeping. They don't realize what's about to happen. So he finds them sleeping, and when he sees them, he goes, hey, get up and pray. He says something. He says, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. I've always thought he was talking to them about them. But he was saying, no, pray. Because he was having an issue. He was having problems, he says. His spirit was willing, but his flesh was pushing against him. It was him that was, he says, the spirit is willing, guys. But the flesh is weak. Pray. And when he saw him, I think he really looked at him. He probably walked away and saw him going, almost sleepy heads, almost trying to get up to kneel or whatever. And he looks at them and he goes back and he tells his father, he goes, Father, if you be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Your will be done, Father. And it says, and there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. You see, I will tell you, this is a beautiful pattern, because anytime you go into the prayer, you go to the closet and you spend time with your Father, I will tell you, you will be strengthened. In thy presence is fullness of joy, the Word of God says, and the joy of the Lord is my strength. So get into the presence of God. You need strength. Get into the presence of God. You'll get joy, and the joy will in itself bring forth strength into you. Can you say amen to that? Yeah. Come on, man. Hallelujah. And he strengthened him, and being in agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat, here's the wrestling, his sweat was as great drops of blood falling down to the ground. And when he rose up from prayer and was come to the disciples, he found them sleeping for sorrow, and he said to them, why sleep ye? Rise and pray, lest you enter into temptation. Praying, right? Don't want temptation. You want to get it rid of it? Pray. Can you say amen? Young men, young ladies, there's a lot of young ladies, young men over here. Hey, pray to God. Because I will tell you, your body will try to take you in a direction that's contrary to where God wants you to go. If you'll pray that temptation, God will help you in that temptation. Pray, pray, pray. Can you say amen to that? Come on, here we go. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21 through 24 says this. I got 8 minutes. For even hitherto were you called because Christ suffered for us, leaving us an example. Is that right? That we should follow his steps. Did you see him praying here? He was praying. He was getting ready to go to the cross. He was submissive to his Father. Not my will, Father, but your will be done. That we should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, he reviled not again. That's a good word. Sometimes people tell us something, we don't like it, and we'll jump right back on them. Is that right? That's not right. When he was reviled, he reviled not again. And when he suffered, he threatened not. But I love this. He committed himself to him that judges righteously. Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree. That we being dead to sin should live to righteousness. And by his stripes, what? You are healed. You are healed. Or does it say were? Does it say are or were? Does it say are or were? We were healed. Is that right? What does that mean? You were healed. The Bible says the stripes, when he every time they took that cat of nine tails to his back, when it went in, it ripped and it tore. And every one of those rips and tears were for our healing. Can you say amen to that? That's what he's done for us, not only getting rid of our sins, but also bringing health to his people. You should be in health. I will say this to you. You are in the kingdom of God. You should be in health. Anytime your body is contrary to that, you speak to it. You tell them, you're in the kingdom. I'm in the kingdom. Get away from me. You see, there is no devil that can mess with you if you know the truth. The truth will what? Make you free. It will make you free.
Yes.
If you know the truth. That's why it's so important that you get into the Word of God. Can you say amen to that? I wish I could take truth. Open up. Open up. Just right down in your throat. But I can't do that. The Holy Spirit has to do that for you, and he'll do it if you'll give him the opportunity. Read the Word of God. Because he says here, by his stripes you've been healed. But know this. Look at this. He, in his own self, took our sins. Do you know what a privilege it is to be saved? Do you know? Do you know? Do you know how valuable this sacrifice that he did was? Do you know? Sometimes we don't act like we know. Can you say amen? Yeah. See, because we have trouble on this side, we have trouble on that side. Something happens to us, and you know, something good happens in the midst of it. Oh, finally, something good to happen in my life. I will tell you something. Everything in your life is good for you. Will you agree with me on that? I mean, I will tell you, God is in control of your life. You have given, if you've given your heart to the Lord, he owns you.
Right.
Is that okay? You are not your own. You died.
That's it.
And the Spirit of God dwells in you. You're not your own. You can't do just what you want. You've got to do what he wants. See, we've gone a long time where people preach and they, you know, the gospel is a way that feels good to us. But the fact of the matter, the gospel is absolute in what it says. Do you understand that? You go against the gospel, go against the kingdom, you're positioning yourself in a bad place. Is that okay? It's not okay to position yourself in a bad place. So you get mad and everybody's making you upset and everything. Do you know where warring comes from? James chapter 3 verses 1, 2, and 3 has something to say to us about this. I want you to look at this. From whence comes wars and fightings among you? Where does that come from? Don't they come hence even of your lusts that war in your members? See, our problem isn't the devil. Our problem is an old man that's trying to relive himself in us. That's the problem. We've got to recognize what's going on. Don't blame the devil. He's been defeated since Jesus died on the cross. And the church is reviving him. I mean, resurrection on the devil. Oh, the devil's bothering me. Stop it. He is not. If you're in the kingdom of God, he is no issue to you. Now, he has a lot to do with these folks that are out here running around and stuff, but that's where we come in. We are the body of Christ in the earth. Can you say amen to that? Yeah. I've got 2 minutes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you. From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not even of the lust that war in your members? You lust and you cannot, and you have not. You kill and you desire to have and cannot obtain. You fight and you war, yet you have not because you ask not. Is that right? You're not going to God to ask him. But then when you do go to God to ask him, watch what he says. And you ask and receive not. Why? Because you ask amiss, because you ask that you may consume it, whatever you're asking for, on your lusts. That's a wild word, folks. That's a good word for today. For the kingdom of God is right now. Right now. You're in it. We need to begin to act in it and know that we're in it. Try not to blame anything on anybody. The only one in on the devil's behalf, the only one in the garden that didn't blame somebody else was the devil. Do you know that? Adam goes, oh, well, the lady you gave me. Huh. The lady says, well, there's that animal in there, that thing with that snake that talks. The devil goes, yeah, it was me. But he didn't blame anybody, did he? Do you know why? God told him, go in there and talk to them. See if they remember what I told them. Huh. You see, that guy has got nothing on us in this kingdom. We are possessors of this kingdom. Can you say amen to that? Are you a possessor of the kingdom? One of my favorite scriptures, of all my favorite scriptures, yeehaw!
Yeehaw!
Is this one here. Daniel chapter 7, verse 21 and 22. I beheld, and the same horn made war with the saints. He is talking about an enemy here. And prevailed against them. Isn't that funny? What did I just get through telling you? The devil has nothing on you. Is that correct? But here we see in Scripture, Daniel's looking at it. But see, Jesus hadn't died yet. Daniel's looking at it and he says, there's this enemy that's prevailing against the saints. Until the Ancient of Days came. Who was that? Man, that is Jesus. Behold, unto you a child is born, a son is given. His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. He's also the Ancient of Days. And when he came, it says, judgment was given to the saints. What do you mean judgment was given to the saints? That judgment that he's talking about is the wisdom of God that's given to us. And then he says this, time came that the saints, what? What? That they possess the kingdom. See, God's not trying to get you off the earth, guys. He's trying to get you to possess the kingdom in your life right now and allow the kingdom to emanate from you. Can you say amen to that? This kingdom is the greatest kingdom the world has ever seen. But you got to die to yourself. You cannot live your life and doing what you want to do without even asking God about it. Can you say amen to that? I would love to be right now driving up the coast of California in a 55 Chevy. I would love to be doing that. Or a 73 Chevy pickup. Isn't that right, Davin? I would love to be taking these trips. Whew. Hey, just go see everything. But God's got me here. Why? because I told him, God, when, whatever, I'll do whatever you want me to do when you want me to do it. And that's what I'm doing. You see, I am a possessor. You need to get this out of your mouth and talk to yourself. I'm a possessor of the kingdom of God. I possess the kingdom of God. I am a possessor of heaven and earth through my kingdom that my God has set up for me. Yee-haw! Come on, man. Hallelujah. The greatest wrangler the world has ever seen is Jesus. Jesus is the wrangler. You see, because he took out his lasso. I'm going to lasso. See, we've got things that we... Whoa, big fella. Come here, come here. Where are you? He's going to lasso. You know, can I tell you who his lasso is? His name is the Holy Ghost. And he's going to lasso them things. See, if you think that you got to clean yourself up, you're mistaken horribly. You just say, God, I need cleaning. Clean me. Go to prayer. Clean me. Read the word. Clean me. And you watch what he does. He'll bring out the lasso. You'll be surprised at what he drags out of you. Come on, man. Come on, man. Hogtied or whatever that is. Come on, man. Kicking and screaming because it doesn't want to come out, but yet the Holy Ghost says, that's time to come out, bro. And you can't do it. The Holy Ghost is the power of God. Amen. To wash and to cleanse.
Yes.
Forever and forever. Can you say amen to that? Yeehaw! One more scripture. It's our power verse. It says this. John chapter 3, verse 30. He must increase. I must decrease. Can I tell you, if you're a Christian, he has been decreasing you. Can you say amen to that? Yeah. Henry used to cuss. Henry drink. Henry used to... I don't want to tell you. Yeah, that's right. But he has decreased that, and he's increased him within me. Can you say amen? How many of you want that? How many of you want that? Put your hand if you want that. If you want increase in your life, not increase of goods, but increase of the Spirit of God, of Christ in you, knowing what he has for you, knowing the things that he has to take you to. How many of you want that increase? Stand up if you want that increase. Hallelujah. We're going to pray for you. Father, I just thank you this morning for your people. Lord, increase your people, Father. Touch our city. Touch our city. Touch our city by your Spirit, God. In the name of Jesus, increase your people in Jesus' name. If you agree, say amen. Give God a yeehaw. Yeehaw, God. Thank you for coming. Hey, come stay around for the food. It's going to be great. Can you say amen?
Thank you for joining us today. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the Word of Christ. We encourage you to keep listening and keep reading the Word of God. You can connect with us at welcometotheshow.org to learn more about our church and how you can get involved. Until next week, God bless.